Thank you, young man. I can count on you. Guys, it's great to be together. It's a beautiful day. I always look forward to coming together and worshiping and spending time with some good people that want to live for God. We've got a lot that's out. A couple that I did not mention in our announcements. Brenda is sick. And Kenneth is sick. And so there are two that I did not mention in the announcements. And so keep them in your prayers as well. And I mentioned in Bible class that I never used to bring my cell phone to worship, but I noticed a text, and I know that Shirley said that they are looking at going to the hospital for a baby. So that's where they're at today. So I want you to bear with me today, all right? I am only preaching this morning, and so Tim's going to be preaching this afternoon. So if you want a real treat, come back this afternoon at 1 o'clock. And so I'm looking forward to that. I get to hear a lesson for a change, and so I'm excited about that. But with that in mind, I've got to cover a lot of ground. And so I tried to shorten my lesson, and you know how I am. It's awful hard for me to do, but I'm going to work on this. And so you got to bear with me. I want you to turn in your Bibles, and we'll look at these things. Now, it's the last day of the year. And there's something about the end of the year that we think everything's going to be new. I've learned that it doesn't matter. You know, on my birthday, I feel just a day older than I did the day before. I'm not a year older. But at any rate, it is a new year. And it gives us perspective, and a lot of times it gives us an idea about, you know, trying to do better. And I think that's good. We really need to do that. And so with that in mind, I want to spend some time today on some things that I really think that we need to work on. And now, keep in mind, I think we do a lot of these things pretty good. By the same token, I think they're things that we always need to be working on. And so as we look at that, I want to stop for just a minute and add something that's not here. And I thought about this morning. Last night about 6:30 or so, Kathy called, and she's home, she's sick, she can't get out, and she needs medicine. Well, it was a little cold last night, but Dorothy and I went to Walmart to get her medicine. They were out. We went to, what's that other place, that store? Hy-Vee. They didn't have any. And so then it's Walgreens, and it's kind of fortunate because it was kind of a straight shot, you know. And we got to Walgreens, and sure enough, they had it. And so I took that to her house, and I kind of handed it through the door, and she thanked me. Well, before I got home, I had another thank you in the text, and then wasn't long after that, I had another thank you. And so I said that to say this. Let people know you appreciate the things you do. Show your thankfulness. I'm going to tell you what. I'm thankful that Carrie and Steve are here.
I'm thankful to be here.
It's so exciting to see you going.
It's been up and down. It's been a long haul the last couple weeks.
Yeah. And so the months, okay, you've been dealing with this for a long time, but she's up from surgery and finally back with us, and so we're excited. I'm thankful for that. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
And so, at any rate, let's be thankful and let's show our thankfulness. Let's verbalize it or text it or whatever, but let's let it be known that we appreciate the things that people do because they need that encouragement. And so so keep that in mind. So now, as we go through this, I want to look at numerous things, and I want you to keep in mind, bear with me, get your Bibles open, and let's turn to these pages, and then I want to get you out of here in time to eat dinner. Because I know it's going to be good. And so, to begin with, guys, I really think the one that I want to start off with is the one that sums up the whole thing. Because we're going to be looking at things that the Bible tells us that we're supposed to do. But you and me are human, and a lot of times we don't, you know, we let things slip. We don't do the things that we should be doing. And being thankful, that's just a command of God. That's what we're supposed to do. And so when we look at this one, Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, honestly, I think it's good that we tell each other we love them, but it's better to see it. It's a whole lot better to see it. You know, I've known people that tell people that they love them, but they didn't treat them right. Okay? Jesus is simply saying, look, if you love me, do what I say. And so I want us to be challenged for this coming 2018 to determine that we're going to learn the things that Jesus says, and we're going to do our best to put them into practice. Give it all you've got. Guys, and this is a very important thing, because you flip back over to John chapter 12 and verse 48. Jesus makes a statement here. He says, he that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I've spoken, this is Jesus talking, the word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, you know, when we make that determination that in 2018, we're going to make it a habit to give it our very best to obey Jesus, we're actually setting ourselves up for a good result. Because on the day of judgment, instead of hearing Jesus say, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, we're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, we all want to hear that, right? And so let's be searching our own soul and our own minds and our own lives. And let's be asking, what kind of things are we fighting God on? What kind of things do we just not want to give in to? Let me tell you something. Those things will not bless your life, much less your eternity. And so let's be challenged. In this coming year, let's do everything that we can to be obedient to Jesus Christ. The next thing I want us to challenge us to be, and one of the things, I want to say this before I get into it. I think that this is probably one of the kindest congregations that I've ever been in. I really do. I think it's something that, as we meet challenges, sometimes it can be strained, and sometimes we wonder why we're kind. But I appreciate you all, because I don't see it stopping. I don't see it slowing down, even in the midst of problems and adversity. But I want us to challenge each and every one of us, guys, to be kinder in 2018 than we were in 2017. And that involves thinking about our actions, our words, and our intentions, and keeping ourselves in check, and make sure that our kindness comes across to those that are around us. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, the Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kindness. Kind. We love the kindness. Isn't it neat to have that relationship? You know, and I think of the times that we spend together and the kindness that you show me. And it gives me encouragement. And it helps me to want to be kind, even when somebody isn't being so kind. Because you pick me up. Because you show me kindness in my life. And guys, we need to be there for one another. We need to be there to strengthen one another, to do the things that are right. And kindness is so very important. It's contagious both ways. You know, if I get in your face, it's going to be awful hard for you to be kind to the next person you come into contact with. If I'm mean to you, if I treat you in some way that is not proper and is not kind, you know, it's going to put you on edge, and the next person you talk to, you're going to be a little out of sorts. Okay? And if you're a little out of sorts with the next person, you know what that does to them? It makes them respond in kind. And then here, it escalates, because now they've been unkind to you. And so you're more unkind. You go to the next person. Be kind. Notice the forgiving one another. Not a one of us is perfect. We all make our mistakes. You know, I've known too many people that they're quick to find fault with somebody else, and they can't even see. They got total blinders on with their own life and their own actions. And they can't see that their life is a shambles. And they want to cast blame at somebody else. Guys, forgiving. Let it go. Oh, was that movie? Which movie was that? Lion King? Okay, there was a movie. Let It Go. Remember,
Frozen.
Hey, I don't even want to hear that word. But I'm going to still love you even if you use that word. And even if you want more snow, I'm going to still love you. And I'm going to do my best to be kind. But guys, let's be kind to one another. In Romans chapter 12, this is really where our kindness is tested. Because it's easy to be kind to one another because we're treating each other nice. But a lot of times we come across people that don't treat you nice. And so this is where Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21 comes in. It says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." So if somebody gets in your face and they're being mean to you, what are you going to do? Let God take care of it. Don't be mean. Be kind. Okay? In fact, watch it as he follows that up. He says, "Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him." So they're being mean to you and you're going to feed them? "If he thirsts, give him drink." You got to be crazy. Let him die of thirst. He's been mean, right? No, that's not what God says. God says to give them food, give them drink, be nice, be kind to them. Because notice what he says happens. "For in so doing, you shall reap coals of fire on his head." I've been feeding the fire there in the house. And you know what? If you feed it before the coals burn down, pretty hot. You don't want to get too close. In fact, you use a poker to get in there and stir it around because you're not going to do it with your hand. You'll come back with an oven. All right? And so, but you see what happens when we treat somebody that's not so nice with kindness? They can't take it. If you want to overcome your enemy, you be nice. Be nice, be kind, be forgiving, be loving in the things that they do and in their life. The next thing I want us to look at is, guys, I want us to consider other people's feelings. We can become so selfish that all we see is what we want. And it's so easy to do and say things that hurt others. I want to challenge every single one of us, guys, to always be thinking about the life of the person that you're talking to. Now, sometimes that might involve getting to know them better. You know, and I've always been that kind of an individual. I want to get involved in people's lives and get to know them and help them in their struggles. And the problem is the more I learn about their troubles, it's hard to not be patient and loving with them. Guys, you know the old Indian saying, walk a mile in your neighbor's moccasins? I really think it's a very important thing. And we need to be very tender and considerate when it comes to other people's feelings and the things that's going on in their life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul, in talking about how he was working with the church in Thessalonica, he said, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." And so the Apostle Paul says, I want you to think about a nurse with a little child. And how they nourish that child and they're tender and compassionate and caring. Do that with one another's feelings. In fact, do that with the feelings of your enemies when you find out that they're trying to treat you in some way that is not so kind. Guys, look at others as that nurse. Consider their feelings and honestly be concerned and care about them and their situation. I want to go to in Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. And I want us to notice here the golden rule, you know. And it's golden because it is worth so much. It is so very valuable. Jesus says, "And as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also unto them likewise." Well, guys, how many of you want to be picked up and encouraged in life? Anybody here? I think we all want that, don't we? Don't we want that encouraging word? Don't we want people to come in and try to pick us up and get us excited and happy about life? Nobody likes to be down in the dump. And so what are we going to do for others? In 2018, guys, let's set out to brighten the lives of every person we come into contact with. I'm going to tell you something. It upsets me about Christmas. That's when we wish everybody a happy day. And that really upsets me. And the reason I do, that I get upset, I think we should be wishing everybody a wonderful day every single day of the year. There's 365 of them. I'm not going to pick out one time of year to bless your life and to brighten it. I want to bless your life every single day. I want to encourage you guys, please, in 2018, let's pick up this cheerful season where we're wishing everybody a happy day, and let's do our best to brighten their life every day of the year. Everybody you come into contact with, the clerk at the grocery store, the people that you meet as you go by on the street or in the store or wherever you're at, wish them a happy day. And I guarantee you that'll make you happier. Smile! Because if you say, have a happy day. Don't we do that sometimes? You know, we're human beings. And sometimes I really feel like that. But I try to pick it up and I try to put on a face and say, I hope you have a great day. When inside I want to die. But you know what that does to me inside? It makes me feel better. Guys, I think we're our own worst enemy sometimes. I plead with you and I beg of you. In 2018, let's set out to brighten the lives of all of those around us every single day in the year. Wish them a happy day. And mean it. Even if you don't feel so great. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, I think we find the basis of Christianity. In Matthew 20 and verse 28, it says that even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Guys, set out to be a servant. We are the most selfish society I think that there must ever be in. I don't know. Selfishness is rampant in this world we live in. I want us to be that shining light that is a servant to those that are around us. This past week, I picked up the young people and we went around and we shoveled walks. Now, it wasn't really needed that we did that. I mean, we could have got by without it. But you know what? That's an opportunity to serve. I think Bob would rather do his own. Okay? But you know what? He allowed us to do that. In essence, he served us. And we appreciate that. You know, we went around and we did several. We did it here and we had a good time. Let's do it every day in 2018. Let's serve. Let's be that servant. Let's set our minds on being the servant that Jesus came to be. He's the one that set that example. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, talking about Jesus as servant, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. And so, think about yourself and ask yourself the question. Do I talk about me and my desires more than anything else? Oh, my. You know, and kind of like the eyes, the light of the body. You know, our mouth is where our heart is. Okay? And so it goes back to that being concerned about others. But let's be a servant. And so we can kind of judge about whether we're here to help others and be that servant like Jesus was. Do we have that mind? Or all we care about is us. In 2018, guys, I want to challenge everybody here to set their goals and set their eyes on being more of a servant than we were in 2017. You know, being served is a lonely life. It's no fun. You know, the opportunity to go out last night at 7 o'clock in that miserable cold to get Kathy something for her medicine. That's a joy. I was blessed to be able to spend some time with Steve and Carrie in these surgeries. And of course, Carrie is just, and Steve are so thankful. But they're not as blessed as I am, because I'm the one that got the joy. And yes, they had a great joy from that. But the thing is, you know, we're here to serve, and the servant is the one that is blessed the most. Do you want to bless your life? Don't be selfish in 2018. You be the servant. You know, and I go from times like that, and Carrie just texted me a couple times. She said, "Oh, thank you so much for being there." And I'm just like, "Oh, wow, I'm just on top of the world." You know, I got to do something nice for somebody. I got to pick them up. I got to encourage them. Let's be the servant in 2018. Many years ago, when I was 18 years old, my wife and I drove for about 1,550 miles. It was a miserable journey. We'd had a blowout, no money, a doctor bill, and medicine, and 50-cent piece and a couple little change in my pocket. And we stopped at the school where I was getting ready to go to Bear Valley, and one of the students that had graduated, he was going to leave. He handed me, I don't know, $10 or $20. And I said, "I'll get it back to you." He said, "No, give it to somebody else." I've been trying to give it away ever since. And that $20, 10 or 20, it was a lot of money back in 78, 79. Has blessed my life so much. Guys, we need to be a servant. Give yourself away. Give yourself away. In 2018. And you will gain more than you can imagine. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. I knew that wasn't right. I was in Galatians. It says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Walk in love how? The way Jesus did. And so, what do you mean walk in love as Jesus did? Well, what does it say? He gave himself. You remember the passage in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20? It's a young people's song. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Love. Love like Jesus. Give yourself. Have that kind of an attitude and that kind of a devotion to those that are around you that will help you to be like Jesus. Guys, this is what Jesus expects of us. He expects for us to show that love, whether it's to our spouse. You know, that's when it really gets tough. You know, we get familiarity breeds contempt, and then, you know, we get crosswise with one another. It's easier to get crosswise with somebody you love, that you're close to, than it is to a stranger. And I've always got to watch that. You know, in Colossians, Paul said, "Husbands, be not bitter against your wives." You know? Well, I imagine wives, you probably could easily be bitter against us too. You know, because we're there all the time. But we still got to show love. And that's right. Even when it's tough. And that's very important. My wife has been blessed to me by God. It's a blessing that we've received. And we need to show that love every single day of life. I want to go to Hebrews 11 and verse 11. This, guys, is really something that, to me, I think is so very important. And I'm using this as an example. I want to read the account, and then we're going to make the application. Hebrews 11 and verse 31. It says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies in peace." Now, you know the account of Rahab the harlot. She saved or rescued the spies and hid them. And then she, in turn, was rescued. I want you to imagine what a harlot's life would be like. In my world, as striving to live as a Christian and help others, I've been involved in the lives of numerous harlots. It's not pretty. It's not a good life. But I want you to notice something here. She moved on. She moved on. She changed her life. She didn't allow the hang-ups of the past, whatever they were, to destroy the rest of her life. One of the most devastating things that I see so often is the price we pay for where we've been. Now listen to me carefully. Every one of us has been somewhere. We've got our own pain to bear. We've got our own skeletons in the closet. But you don't have to let that shape today. Does that make sense? Yes, hang your head in shame, okay? But I want you to accept the forgiveness that comes in Christ Jesus, and I want you to get up and go forward and live your life for the Lord. Live it with joy. Live it with happiness. You know, the cup, I was blessed with two wonderful coffee cups, and joy's in the journey. You know, I've got that coffee cup, and I've used it numerous times, and I love that message. You know, we look at our past and it gets us down, and then before long we just let it overwhelm us, and then there's no joy in life. That's our fault. Give it to Jesus and move forward. Rahab did. I've known too many harlots, and their past was not pretty. But she moved on. You and I can too. Let it go in 2018 and free yourself from the bondage of those things. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, I'm running out of time. Matthew 24 and verse 44, it says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh." Guys, I want you to live every day like Jesus is going to come this evening. He might. Live every day like it might be your last. Might die. Fall off another ladder. Head first. You might cross the median and run into somebody head on. Guys, this is serious business. Please. Decide that in 2018, you're going to live it every single day of the year like it's your last. That's what Jesus wants. I want you to live every day with a purpose. You know, I really feel for people that get up in the morning and they don't have purpose. You know, every day I've got a purpose. I want to help somebody go to heaven. I want to help somebody on that journey. That's my purpose in life. And I don't care what I'm doing. But in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Guys, I want us to live every day with a purpose to serve the Lord. Live for Jesus. Give Him all you've got. We need more young people that are raising their children to love God, because we've got a nation of young people, they don't even know about God. They don't care. The parents didn't care. The carers didn't put Him first. And so therefore we wonder, what's wrong with the kids? Guys, we need to set that example, because if we don't set it when they're young, guess what's going to happen when they get older? They don't care. And we're scratching her and saying, what? What's wrong? What's wrong? Why is our kids don't love God? You got one shot. If you don't love God now, don't expect your children to love God later. Keep it in mind. Guys, we need to make sure that we live every day with a purpose. Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You notice what Jesus says that is supposed to be the priority in our life? The kingdom of God, which is his church, and God's righteousness. Guys, I want us to decide that in 2018, we're going to work to build the church. Now, that's involved in two areas. One is by spiritually maturing the church, growing in maturity. Another is by adding souls to the church to help it grow in number and more people go to heaven. What's your priority? You know, we've been making plans about some of the things that we're going to do in 2018 to win the lost to Jesus Christ. And we will make plans and we will do things. But I want you to know one thing. There ain't no program going to do anything. What will build the church is if everybody here sets their goals on winning one lost soul or family to Jesus Christ in 2018. I don't think it would be hard at all to double in number if everybody here would set their goal to that. In Acts chapter 4, 8 and verse 4, everybody went everywhere preaching the word. And they had jobs and kids and functions and all that nonsense to do every day. And they were pulling their hair out. How are we going to make ends meet? And how are we going to survive? And they were working 6-12 hours a day instead of 5-8. Or sometimes when we're on the road, it's probably more than that. And then we have so much less time now that we've got automatic washers and dryers. Why is that? They were working 6-12-hour days. And the church was growing like wildfire. Guys, I want to challenge you. In 2018, I want you to set your sights on winning one soul or bringing one family to the Lord this coming year. I can't do it alone. And I'm glad y'all helped. But I want us to each work together and set our personal sights on doing that. The last one is one that I rarely teach on because I've had so many people, they get so sick to death of preachers, they preach about giving every time they get up. And so I don't do it very often, but I'm reminded by some of the brethren once in a while that it is part of the gospel and I have to teach on it once in a while. And so I know that as giving goes, I listened to somebody tell me just recently about how a loved one of theirs barely survived all their life, but always had money to help others, and with amounts that she could not understand where she ever got that money. Guys, I want to challenge you to give more in 2018. Honestly, look about the money that we spend on pop and eating out and toys and nonsense. I dare say there's probably a lot of us spend more for internet than we give to God. Spend more on eating out than we give to God. And spend more on frivolous things that we don't even need. And it's okay to have those things. But is our priority right? When we do that. And so I don't like teaching on this subject, but I guess what brought it to mind, I was reading a book on Maxim of Wall Street, and it was sayings that people had made in reference to money. And one of these was Ben Franklin. And Ben Franklin said, "Great almsgiving lessens no man's living." Let me read that again. Great almsgiving lessens no man's living. Over the years, I try to keep increasing my giving, and I've never missed a meal. And I think what he said was true. In fact, I know it is because it's a biblical principle. The second one is by John Templeton, and he said, answered a question. He said, what's the best investment I ever made? He said, charity. He said, I never lost a dime. And when we give to God, we'll never lose a dime. And so I want to look at a couple passages. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 1 to begin with. It says, moreover, brethren, we, and do you to wit means want you to know. We want you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, as you read down through there, he's talking about in their poverty, they gave to the Lord to do the work of the Lord. And notice what was bestowed on them because of their giving. God's grace. I think we get this all mixed up. And I know in the religious world, this giving has been hammered and people are sick to death of it. And I talk to the people out there and they say, I got so sick to death because every time I went, all he talked about was giving. And you know what? I know some of the things that those people do and they want to give. They want to help. But they're sick to death of hearing the message, and I don't blame them. But let me tell you something. God bestows grace on the giver. Now, look at a couple other passages. Down to verse 7. He said, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Abound in what? In giving. And that's what he's talking about. You go back and read it. I'm about out of time, or I am out of time, but I want us to see that. And we think that, you know, we look at giving to God as a portion of what's left over. Okay, so I do everything that I want. And then when I get to the end, I'm thinking, okay, so we got this much left. And so I'm going to take this much out of it, I'm going to give to God. Well, that's not the biblical teaching. The Bible says to purpose and set it aside. In fact, I believe that you need to make your bills based on what you need to be given to God. And so, as we look at this, when we do not give properly, we rob ourselves of the grace that God gives. And so in 2018, let's think about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, still talking about giving, listen to what God says. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. He's talking about how much we give back to God. I want to add a verse. I know we're out of time. Go to Philippians chapter 4. I almost added it before and I didn't, but I'm going to go back. In Philippians chapter 4, and I want to read 15 through 17 because the Philippians were sending to the work. And it said, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. And even in Thessalonica sent once and again and to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but watch this, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. When you give to God, that's fruit that abounds to your account. Notice it's not added, it abounds to your account. We do not understand giving. God said if you give sparingly, expect that kind of return. But he says if you give bountifully, expect that kind of return. And so we rob ourselves of God's grace and blessings when we don't give bountifully. We need to abound in that giving. And flip back in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, and then the lesson will be yours. It says, every man as according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. What a joy it is to give to God. What a blessing. In 2018, think about what you give. One of the things that always bothers me is people that are going beyond, they're the ones often that it bothers. doing more than they probably should. It bothers them. But then there's people that give very little, and they don't even think about it. You do need to be wise with your giving. But guys, I think when we look at it all rationally and logically and look at what God says, I think we can come to a good conclusion. And I think that in 2018, let's purpose to give more to God. God gives us much. 2018's in kind of a new beginning. It's an exciting time to be able to make changes to my life. These are all good things that I think we need to apply. Even if we got them down, we need to try to do better in these things in 2018. It's an opportunity. Let's grow together. Let's begin with by making sure that we're right with God in the first place. We can fool ourselves and think we're right with God and not be. We find that we find the forgiveness of sins by coming to Christ on His terms. We read and study the Bible to gain a faith, Romans 10:17. We see what we're supposed to do and we say, oh, I got to turn from it. I have to repent. I have to change my life and live different. We realize that also we need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That means He can tell you what to do. And I need somebody to tell me what to do. Don't listen to her.
You got a good woman. She does a good job of that.
And then you need to be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins in Acts 2:38. But then you're going to have to get up and walk and live for God. Let's just set our sights to live for God in 2018 with everything that we've got. If there's anybody that needs to respond to the invitation, guys, please do it now while we stand and while we sing.